Also, this weekend, on Sunday in fact, people around the world will be celebrating International Women's Day. And one problem that seems to be getting worse, or seems to be intractable anyway, even getting worse for women in this country, is the national gender pay gap. According to the latest data, the wage gap widened last year to nearly 19%. That's about the same gap as apparently exists in the US. But some researchers are starting to challenge that statistic and the assumption that the pay gap is caused by widespread discrimination in the workforce. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell, takes a look.
The pay gap between men and women is not only persisting, it's widening. And it's affecting all industries and professions, even apparently highly paid actors in Hollywood.
To every woman who gave birth, to every taxpayer and citizen of this nation, we have fought for everybody else's equal rights. It's our time to have wage equality once and for all, and equal rights for women in the United States of America.
That was Patricia Arquette. She used her Oscar speech at last month's Academy Awards to condemn the wage disparities in the film industry, which begs the question, if a white woman working in one of the most privileged industries in the world feels she's being discriminated against on the basis of pay, how bad must it be for the rest of us? Well, according to the latest data, it's pretty bad. The Workplace Gender Equality Agency says the national gender pay gap in Australia widened last year to 18.8%, a 20-year high. It means, says the agency, that on average, women working full-time earn $298 a week less than their male counterparts, with the wage disparities the widest in WA and in sectors like finance, healthcare and mining. But some are questioning the assumption that the gender pay gap is caused by widespread discrimination in the workplace. Michaela Novak is a senior researcher at the free market think tank, the Institute of Public Affairs.
It's obviously illegal in the Australian context since the early 1970s to pay people differently on the basis of their gender status. So this is a phenomenon that's calling, demanding for an explanation. And the explanation is that these are largely individual choices which are driving the observed gender pay gaps. There's no discrimination here systemically.
Michaela Novak's controversial thesis mirrors a study done by economists at the American Enterprise Institute in 2012. They argued that the pay gap could be explained purely by the choices they say men and women make, like what education and skills they attain, what responsibilities they take on at home in terms of childcare, and even how assertive they are in asking for promotion.
When you undertake empirical analysis of pay gaps, what you'll actually find is that when you control for factors such as full-time versus part-time work, when you take into account education, when you take into account access to childcare, when you take into consideration factors such as risk and appetite for risk in different occupations, the effects that are often purported to be discriminatory actually wash out. So what we're actually seeing is that the pay gap is largely attributed to individual choices that you make in ordinarily in a market.
So you're saying when you control for those factors, the wage pay gap, the gender pay gap, pretty much vanishes?
It pretty much does, absolutely. That's what occurs when you control for all of these factors which impinge on individual choices in the labour market, that the effects that are purported to be discriminatory wash out.
Are there studies that show that?
You can actually sort of think of quite interesting studies, for example, of single lesbian women in some occupations, like in law. Their sort of relative levels of salary and pay are actually quite high and compare quite favourably to that of men.
The Workplace Gender Equality Agency admits that the pay data it collates doesn't compare women and men doing exactly the same job. But that doesn't mean the disparities can be explained away by women's choices. Yolanda Beattie is an executive manager with the agency.
There is not any robust evidence to look at on a like-for-like basis what is the pay gap. But what I can tell you is the work that the agency has done with the leaders, so business leaders in Australia, and we have 62 CEOs who have signed up as pay equity ambassadors for the agency, who categorically say gender bias is real and it will impact pay outcomes for women doing the same or comparable work as men unless you analyse your payroll data and check that it's not occurring.
Yolanda Beattie says bias is pervasive in the workplace. It can be found in the assumptions employers make around working mothers' commitment to their job and also during pay negotiations.
Because women don't negotiate as assertively as men do, and they tend not to because they program from a young age to be compliant, and when they do negotiate assertively, they're viewed more negatively than a male who negotiates similarly, and there's research to suggest that fact. So they often start at a lower salary than their male counterparts and they never catch up.
But the IPA would argue that that is an issue that's entirely in the remit of a woman really to change. It's not like the employer saying you're going to get 30% less. If they want to be assertive, they can be assertive, is what they're saying.
Well, I suppose if you want to be a best practice employer that recognises men and women equally and rewards them equally based on outcomes, not just how good they are at spinning shit, then you turn around and you say to that, that's rubbish. And you've seen a number of the male champions of change stand up recently and say that they've stopped taking meetings with men before bonus time, selling their story, because they know it puts women at a structural and cultural disadvantage to men.
So how much would you put down the pay gap to what you call unconscious bias, actual wage discrimination?
NatSem did some research some years back that suggested 40 to 60% of the national pay gap was unexplained. So there's some evidence to suggest it could be as high as that. Frankly, I don't think it matters how high it is. I think the question is, it happens, and it's employers' responsibility to analyse their payroll data to ensure it's not happening in their workplaces.
The IPA's Michaela Novak, however, begs to differ. She says gender pay gap statistics are misleading, and in the end, do women a disservice.
The reliance upon aggregate or average levels of pay across the genders doesn't particularly illuminate the very important issues of discrimination. There needs to be deeper analysis and work and interpretation of actually what's going on, rather than just relying on national statistical agencies in this regard.
That's a report from our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 8:13.